dear Lord, we bring to you praises and honor once again for giving us the privilege to be in your house this evening, having blessed us in the morning. We are grateful because we are privileged people, special people. Lord, that you have called to be fed with the word of life, just like you did to Elijah. Lord, during the 3.5 years of famine in Israel, we are grateful. The spiritual food in this season, we pray, gracious Lord, as we come before you once again, that you will reflect yourself to us in the way, Father Lord, that our life will be better than it has been up to this moment. We appreciate you for your blessings upon us in the morning. And we are trusting you for more of your blessings upon us this evening. And that you will crown our blessings and all the glory and honor will be yours. Let our joys be full while we look upon to you, that you will glorify your name. Thank you, everlasting Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
God bless you. Let's open our song to, I think it is 107, in the city where the Lamb is the Lord.
Where the never comes alive. Vision, glory, and glory.
bless you. Let us open our Bible to... I know that by the singing of this one, you know that I'm continuing what we did in the Sunday school. God bless you. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. From verse 1 to the end. I will just... by the time we get to verse 5, you can have your seat. This second epistle, beloved, and I write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days coffers, walking after their own lusts, and seeing where is the promise of his coming. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continued as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserve unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But Lord, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord. I said, after the fifth verse, you can sit down. I've already said it. So I don't expect you to still be on your feet. God bless you. So that I don't forget, that is why I said it earlier. And as I was reading, I forgot it. So, I expected, God bless you. Yeah. So, but verse 8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as men can, some men can slackness, but his long suffering towards to us word. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and listening unto the coming of the day of God, when the heavens being on fire shall dissolve and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, when it dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye will be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long suffering of our Lord salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul, and according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are on land and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grown in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. I read Revelation chapter 21, from verse 1 to 7. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto him, Me, write, for these things are true and faithful. And he said unto him, Me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. The Lord bless the reading, the hearing of his word to our hearts. God bless you. I just felt that it is necessary that we continue with it since I have the opportunity, you know, for the evening service. It's a very lengthy sermon, about, and I think, more than 3 hours. You can imagine a preaching of 3 hours is quite loaded. Praise be to God. And we have taken it to the Sunday school, and we know that by the grace of God, we'll be able to follow it as the Lord will give us the grace. 3 hours, 36 minutes. So, we believe the Lord will help us. God bless you. In the morning, we started by looking at the earth and God's purpose. The prophet told us that the earth was created to be inhabited by humans. And well, let me not make too much review because this time it's not on our side. Let me go straight to the review. I want to follow up here from paragraph 83. So look how we can blend in and move straight. In the morning, we were talking about where the prophet was emphasizing to us that God has a principle and has a pattern, has a method. And that method is that whatever it did for the first time, whatever decision it took for the first time, it will remain with that decision. Whatever it did for the first man in the past, in the same condition under which God did it, is met in another time. The prophet said, God will do exactly what he did by that time. The prophet said, let it be the time of Jesus, let it be the time of the prophets, let it be the time of the apostles. So which has brought us to the time of the Old Testament, the New Testament, and our time. You know? So, in other words, God does not change in his principles. And that gives us confidence and you know, trust in Jehovah to know that the God that we deal with is, it doesn't shift. There is no circumstance that will make him to change his decision. Because he's all powerful. He knows the ending from the beginning. And that is why he can be that. It only takes somebody that knows the ending from the beginning that is also omnipotent. He's omnipotent. He knows all things. And he's omniscience, and he's also omnipresent. Of course. Being omnipresent, the prophet told us that it's not like the air that is ubiquitous. In other words, you find wind everywhere. The prophet said, God has a throne. But being all-knowing, because he knows all things, make him omnipresent. Because he knows all things, that makes him omnipresent. That makes him to be everywhere. So nothing is hidden before him. Everywhere is open before him. He knows everything. Like the prophet made us to know that before God created the world, when he was all alone, the talu that will be on the earth, the gnat that will be on the earth, the prophet said, those creatures, how many times they will bite, they will bathe their eyes, God knows. So the kilometers that your leg will walk on the earth, God knows before you are born. And that is why it is possible for God in his power, or in his prophetic power, can prophesy, can speak of events in the future. And it will be exactly so. Praise be to God. So, the prophet here is reminding us, notice how God makes it plain to us, the plan of his redemption, his redemptive plan, that he doesn't shift from the three principles, from the three stages. You see? And, okay? If he ever healed a person, he has to do it again when the same condition is met. He ever saved a man, he's got to do it on the same grounds he did it the first time. If he ever fill a man with the Holy Ghost, he's got to do it on the same grounds he did it the first time. If he ever raise a man up from the grave, he's got to do it the second time and every other time on the same principle. It doesn't change. Oh, what a hope that gives me. What is it? Not in some man-made theology or theory. Something that groups of man have come together, but is unchangeable word. You say, is it true? I say, he said, let every man's word be a lie, and mine be true. For heavens and earth will pass away, but my word shall never fail. All scripture is given by inspiration. Therefore, it's good and profitable for doctrine. And remember that all scripture will be fulfilled. Every bit of it. Notice how God makes it plain to us. You see, and if that wasn't a great confirmation, a great loving blessing from God, when I see this and see that since a boy, first time ever Christ dealt with me, I have still always taught those three stages of grace. Notice if it isn't true now. Now, the first step is repentance towards God. We move into the stages. The prophet told us that the same process that it takes to redeem is falling our creatures is the same process it takes to redeem the heart where we're going to live in. Let me read a little here before we move forward. I'm reading paragraph 100. You have just moved to 100. All right. Paragraph 100. Is our striking now? It takes the place where we are to dwell in through the same process. Now, he has called the church through justification, call it through sanctification, then fill it with the Holy Ghost and fire. And he took it through a process that he himself, the Holy Spirit himself, the Son of God, could dwell in the human heart. Now, it has to go through that before it can come into it. That's the human being. That is you and that is me. That is why repentance is the first stage. Repentance leads to water baptism. And the prophet says here that if your repentance is genuine, you will go for water baptism. Alright? It has to go through that before it can come into it. 102. Notice, he did the word where that bride is going to live in the same way. This is same plan of salvation. Notice the antediluvian word. He, after it has repented, by through the bride of that day, Noah, he gave it a water baptism, cover it over with water. Then justification, showing that he is on his road to call this fallen world from Eden back to his restoration again. Praise be to God. Now, we are so privileged to know the program that God has ahead for us. And this is not just for head knowledge. This is to steer us up, like I've said, to steer us up, to encourage us, to pray more, to search our lives to see. I took that song. In one of the songs, say, if we are faithful, we shall go there by and by. In the city where the Lamb is the light. If we are faithful.
And the only way that we can be faithful is to go through these three processes completely. Is to go through these processes completely. And we have to start right. Starting right, meaning that we repent of our sins. Somebody asked me the question sometimes. I think it was at Bakatari. After we went through some things, and I think he said, can somebody do water baptism over? I said yes. And then we went through the scripture. Acts chapter 9. In the upper coast of Ephesus, where Paul went there. Somebody can do water baptism as many times as you are convinced. If you have done water baptism before and you feel that, you know, there's still a question in your mind concerning your life and is disconnected to water baptism, you redo it to remove that question from you. Because the prophet said, if there's a question in your mind, he said, you have to attend to that question. So, the first thing that the prophet is emphasizing to us here is repentance towards God. And that's what the Lord himself taught us. Repentance. That repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name. Starting from Jerusalem and then to the rest of the world. And in Luke, he told us there too. And Rapport was telling us that we must also that repentance towards God and faith towards Jesus Christ. And that is the message of the church. First, there must be genuine repentance. And a man comes to repentance having been convinced of the evil that he or she has done. The disbelieving of God's word. Now, a man on his own cannot come to repentance if God does not work upon him. Because it is God that brings conviction to the heart of man. Now, let me say it this way. There are some people who have heard the message, who have had preaching, not once, not twice, not three times. Maybe about the fourth or the fifth time they will hear it, that's when it has a meaning to them. God now taking the word when it was the right time for them to understand what he was talking about. And then they took the right step. You understand what I'm saying? Conviction of sin. And that's why the prophet said you cannot see your sin the way God sees it until God convinces you. God has to deal with your heart. The stubborn heart. Heart of stone. God has to deal with it. From the sermon, impersonation of Christianity. It is God working in the heart of the Bible. Says it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And that is why it is grace. God bringing you to the level where you recognize that what I have done is wrong. What I have done is wrong. It is when you see your sin the way God sees it. Like we have always been emphasizing. Peter, when after, you know, Jesus Christ was arrested, it was fine. And the first man that met him said, oh, you look like the disciples of Jesus Christ. I said, me, I don't know him. But by that time, nothing pricked him. But he has denied. If he was not an elect, if he died in that condition, he has denied that first attempt. Then, another chance. Just like Jesus Christ had told him that three times you deny me before a cock crows. So the second time, he was also seen by one of those people. And he was challenged and said, ah, your language betrays you. You're a Galilean. You should be one of these. He said, myself, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't even know whether I've seen this man before. I think the third time, he was cursing. That if I ever know him, at that moment, Jesus Christ looked at him. It was when his eyes met with the eyes of Jesus, and he remembered what Jesus Christ told him, that condemnation came to his heart. Repentance, there's a mystery behind it. So it takes God to deal with the heart of a man before he can truly repent, or before she can truly repent. And so, and that places God in the position of a savior. Because he's the savior, he will only bring true repentance, genuine repentance to the heart of his sons and his daughters. Why? Because they must be truly, they must be truly forgiven, and then walk upon and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that cannot happen until they have come through this process. Now let me drop this also. We have read here where the prophet said that whatever condition that made God to do anything for anybody in the past, if that condition is met today, God will also do it, isn't it? Now we emphasize repentance, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins and shall be filled. We watch these three processes. We also look at what happened in Cornelius' house. Why Peter here speak? The Holy Ghost fell upon them. That was before they went for water baptism. And the prophet told us the condition of the heart of those people. That they had already accepted that what they were going to hear was the word of God. And they condemned the word of God they were hearing, they were accepting, they were not criticizing, they were making adjustments in their heart, they were repenting in their heart while they were hearing the word. The problem, and God, who knows the heart of man, saw that the heart of these people, their hearts were in the condition to be filled with the Holy Spirit, he put the Holy Ghost upon them. If anybody's heart is in that condition again today, if the person is just coming for the first time and he hears the gospel and is an elect, that thing will happen to that person. Because you say, it's God. If he ever took a decision, he will remain with it. So, God does not deceive anybody. He does not. His word is sacrosanct.
Well, sorry if that word is a little big. That means you can't alter it. You can't add or take away from it.
It is the way. Once you have presented something to the people, you don't go and change it.
You know. Let me just leave it like that. As Professor Yojong here.
Sister Jia.
She's not around.
Okay.
Dr. Amao, you understand what I mean?
All right.
Well, I'm saying that because we use it mostly. After your student has presented the proposal, you have told this as your objective, this is the method you are going to use to solve the problem, and it's accepted. Corrections have been offered. You can't change it when you come back. You cannot add anything to it or take away from it. That's why we use the word sacrosanct. It is the same thing with God's word. If you can't add anything to it, you can't take from it. When God says it, and he has said it to the mouth of his prophet, so he doesn't change. The prophet preaches a tourist series of sermons. Does God ever change his mind about his word? When you read about Balaam, who God told not to go, and he came back the second time because of, the padded package. The package was repadded. Very attractive, better than the first one that was given to him when he approached God and God said, don't go. So the people came back and said, well, let us move it on. Let's increase all the promises there and the rest of it, maybe from 1,000 to millions. And then they present it to Balaam and they look at it again. Wow, it's a great package. Let me see if God will permit me. Let me go and meet him. The fact that he was going to ask God the second time after God had told him showed that he did not believe. And he went. When God saw his mind, when God saw his ways, God said, go. Did God change his own mind? God did not change his mind. God only permitted him, and on the way, God wanted to kill him. To show that God was not happy with him. But he was blind, he did not see. It was only his mule that saw the angel with sword in his hand that wanted to smite them. An angel was pinning his leg to the wall. At a point, the angel turned back. That was the first time. The angel went to take another route. Why are you taking another route? You are taking me through a longer route.
The animal did not talk. Then at another time, he brushed his feet when the angel was standing. There was a little space for them to escape. The animal brushed his feet on the wall. I was able to escape. He beat the animal. Then the third time. Then at a point where the animal could not turn back. No other space. The angel was standing there with his sword in his hand. The animal collapsed under his belly. I can't go forward here. No way forward, no way backward. Then Balaam began to deal with the animal. Began to beat the animal. The animal spoke up. I said, am I not your beast? Have I disobeyed you in the past? Have I not taken you to places where you wanted me to go? There's a danger in the front. You, this blind prophet. Can't you see? Then go open his eyes and he saw the angel with the sword in his hand. Then he began to repent. I said, well, I will not go. I will go back. God said, go. But you cannot curse my people. God doesn't change his mind. He does not change his mind. Oh, you can say, what about Ezekiah that he prayed? The prophet taught us directly that prayer changes the mind of God. That's another quotation that applies to something else. We must understand that. The prophet said prayer changes things. And he cited the case of Ezekiah. And that was towards a good thing. It's not to manipulate God's mind, you know, to meet to for your selfish ends. God understood what Ezekiah was asking for. He said, I have served you faithfully. And God did not say it's not true. And God called back to Isaiah and said, go back and tell him, I have had his prayers, I have had his crying. I've had the additional 15 years to his ears. The prophet picked that to give us desperation in the sermon, desperation. To let us be desperate that when you must ask God, as a child of God, God will answer you. Praise be to God. Now we are talking about repentance. So repentance is a mystery around it. So it takes God to walk upon the heart of a man to come to true and genuine repentance. Because that is very, very important before somebody takes the step to go for water baptism. And that's why the prophet will say that the most times people go into the water as dry sinners, and they came back as a wet sinners. Instead of going in as a dry sinner, come back as a wet saint. Because there is no genuine repentance. Maybe they were just influenced by one thing or the other and the rest of it. And another thing is this. If somebody has truly repented, the devil can battle with you. You can fight the battle if the devil wants to destabilize you, especially people who are yet to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The devil might want to keep you grounded, to keep fighting you that the water baptism you did is not genuine. Now, who did water baptism for Brabriam? His pastor, Roy Davis. Look at what Brabham understood about that man. Do you know what Brabham understood about that man? The scripture, Hebrews chapter 6. You know what Hebrews that is talking about? Yeah, that was the man Brabham requested that he should baptize him in the name of Jesus Christ. But because the water baptism was correct, the agent that did it, it's not the issue. It's the correct water baptism. But being that it was a genuine repentance, and Abraham wanted that to be done in the name of God, because what he saw there, yet his pastor didn't believe, but he requested, just baptize him, please, the way I want you to be baptized. And he was baptized like that. If not, Abraham would have gone to do another baptism again. But thank God for the revelation that God has given to him so that he will give to us. Praise be to God. Alright, let's proceed. Then that is water baptism. Okay. Now the first step is repentance towards God, and then follows after that is water baptism. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. See, water baptism follows, showing that repentance was genuine. water baptism should follow. But your repentance, now we know that not many who go for water baptism after they claim their repentance is genuine. Because the statement that many times people go as dry sinners and come out as wet sinners shows that the repentance was not genuine. But we are emphasizing that here, that in order to begin the journey of salvation, it is necessary that somebody repents genuinely. And if somebody feels that he has repented in the past, and there's no need of doing any water baptism again, attend to your conscience. Whatever your conscience tells you, because you are the one that will be convinced by your spiritual state. You are the one that will know the battle that you are facing in your mind. Remember, the battle is in the mind. So you have to make sure that there is no opportunity for the devil as you begin the journey of salvation. Praise be to God. Or to remit. Repentance was genuine. Or to remit our past sin that has nothing to do with the future. Repentance. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. That's what Abraham is emphasizing. For the remission of sin. And I always say that if people will understand the reason for water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, they will embrace it fast. But it's because there is lack of understanding of that part of the scripture. And what is the important part of it is that for the remission of sin. It's for the remission of sin. And the prophet is saying that in the remission of sin, the sins of the past that you have committed has nothing to do with the sin of the future. This is what the prophet is saying. It's a smart. Okay, let's say somebody standing here is facing here, is walking toward that place. That's the direction. Somebody is at this point of repentance to do water baptism. He has come this way. This is the past. This is the future. So he's standing at the present, taking decision. So the decision this person is taking has to be solid. The person has to take, has to repent genuinely for the sins of the past, so that when this person goes for water baptism, the sins of the past can be remitted. But first, there must be genuine. It is when you have repented genuinely, accepting the proposition of Jesus Christ, that it applies to your sins. Well, that is why if somebody does not repent genuinely, if you go for water baptism, the sins are not remitted. Are you following? Water baptism alone does not take away sin if there is no genuine repentance. It's actually your repentance that deals with your past sin. Because when you repent, you accept that you are a sinner. You accept the provision that God has made for your sins to be taken care of, for your sins to be remitted. And after you have done that, accepting your fault as a sinner, and you're accepting the provision of redemption that God has made, then you obey the word of God. And then the blessing of that obedience to that word applies to you. Then your sins of the past are taken care of. The prophet said the sins of the past have nothing to do with your future sin. And now this person that has just come out of this is justified. Justification, we call it justification. This stage is different from the real justification. The real justification, which comes by Holy Ghost baptism. The justification here is not the same thing here. The person that is filled with the Holy Spirit here is justified. Nothing is against him. But here, something is still against you because you are still having your Adamic nature. So, you are justified. You are forgiven your past sin. If you truly repent, so your sins of the past are forgiven. Now it now remains the future. You now have to, when you do what is wrong against God's word, you now have to confess it so that it will not be written against you. Because if you do what is wrong from here and you don't repent of it, it will be written against you in God's book. And that will stand against you from being sanctified and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because God did the same thing for this earth. The prophet said, this earth repented through Noah. Through Noah. This earth repented. And then God gave him water baptism and justifies it.
Praise be to God.
Remit our past sins. We are in paragraph 87. Yes. Remit our past sins. That has nothing to do with future sin. It only remits. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. What for? For remission. You say, why do you baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? What for? For remission of sins. After you have repented. You see, taking away of past sin has nothing to do with future. Just your sins has been chopped off. What you did.
Praise be to God.
So, you see, it is a great thing for somebody to come to that understanding, especially a sinner, to know that because everybody has the weight of sin on them, when they are brought to the reality of their lives, then they recognize. So, it's a great benefit to understand that the remission, when I was going to do water baptism, the first time I did water baptism, I didn't understand it. I just obeyed the scripture. Okay? I only saw the scripture, I only obeyed it. But upon when I watched another person being baptized, and the person that was baptizing this person was saying certain things, then I came to myself and I said, so I didn't have this understanding when I did my own. Immediately, I planned to do it right there. I did not prepare to do water baptism. I did it right there.
Praise be to God.
It is very, very important for you to start right. Because when you start right, you will progress. When you start right, you will progress. But when you don't start right, you cannot progress. Where are you going to progress to? Where are you going to progress to? And that is why that if you are not forgiven, you can't be sanctified. And if you are not sanctified, you can't be filled with the Holy Spirit. So genuine repentance is important before anybody goes to water baptism. Yes. You can't repent for what Adam did. Of course you cannot. You never did it. Adam did it. And then how are you counted as a sinner? Because we're talking about Adamic nature. It's not what Adam did that you are going to answer for. That's what the prophet is saying. God is not going to ask you for what Adam did. Jesus Christ has shed his blood to take care of that. And that is why every child under the age of 12 that dies goes back to God. Though the child is a sinner by birth, but not by the works of her, of his or her hands. Because the child hasn't done anything. You know, the child does not know what is right, what is wrong. You know, before the child leaves this world. So, but from the age of 12, the child begins to be accountable. Everything that that child does is recorded. Whether the child wants to believe it or not, is recorded. All sinner is taking record of it. And what will clean it? Genuine repentance, as we are talking about here. Genuine repentance and then water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. You didn't do. All right, let's look at it. In Genesis chapter, in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. I thought I had plenty of time to dance. Romans chapter 5. From verse 12. Can you follow me? Many of us are, we have our eyes closed. You come and tell us the dream you have. We'll be waiting for the dreams. As many as have slept, we'll be waiting for you. You come and tell us in the minister's office the dream that you had, whether it is symbolic or plain. Come and tell us. And if you know you don't have any dreams, stop sleeping. Now I'm reading from verse 12 of Romans chapter 5. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Of course, the wages of sin is death. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. How did you become sinners? Through Adam. Adam represented us to be sinners. You see, there is always this representation. This house of representative, this senate, they copy from God's word. Whatever law that is made in Nigeria today, it's not you that made it directly. Some people sat down there, whether they know what they are doing or not, whether the law is against you, they will make it anyhow. A man was saying, sorry, let me just brought in, a practical professor of medicine was saying something. That there was a time, you know, this Senator Ekwerima, I think he was a Senate president one time. I think he was the one that has his jail in UK now, isn't it? Now listen very closely. You know, if a man dig ditch for another person, they usually say that he should not dig it too deep, because now he will fall there later. I'm not rejoicing for that, but that's exactly what happened. Not in this, it did not happen here in this country because of what they have done, but it happened outside because they don't believe that. Now, this particular professor of medicine was saying it. Maybe I may. Okay. So he was saying it that, it was placed on our platform. I don't know whether you are ready. You saw it. I don't know whether you are ready to. Brother Sam was the one that put it on our platform. This professor of medicine was saying that there was a time that the senators wanted to make law. And that law was to allow harvesting of organs without the permission of the owner of the body. That they can harvest somebody's organ, they harvest the kidney of that person, harvest the lung of that person, harvest the ovary of that person, without taking permission from that person. They made that law. The professor, when they saw it in the constitution, they called that, when they saw it, when they were public hearing about it, he said they spoke against it. That it is wrong. It's never done in any part of the world for you to harvest anybody's organ without their permission. They have to agree to it. That okay, you can take it. Maybe on monetary time or for whatever. He said, but they did not listen, they passed it. Later I began to think that okay, it is for their own selfish hand. Look at the harvesting of the organ of that boy that they transported to outside the country. That they wanted to change to do transplant for his daughter. And they were caught in UK. I think it's UK. He's in jail now. They jail him for doing that. But Nigeria High was free. That they cannot arrest any doctor for it who wants to arrest anybody's organ without the permission of that person. So maybe that's our representative. I'm giving an example of representative that can make a law against your very self. You that they are claiming to be representing. So I'm talking about representation. God, when Adam sinned, because they were the first beings on the earth, Adam and Eve, when they sinned, their sins were counted to us. And that's why we are all sinners today. And that's how we were born with Adamic nature. Well, I think it is only God's children that have the Adamic nature that can be converted. Because the other ones that are serpent seed don't have Adam's nature. They have the serpent's nature. And that's a teaching. Because when you say Adamic nature, is everyone that came through the serpent did not come through Adam. Because Adam is not their father. Are you getting that? Eve is the mother of all. But Adam is not the father of all. So the serpent is the father of many. Adam is the father of many. So those who came through Adam's kingdom, they are the ones that have the Adamic nature. Even though today, that line is not traceable. But God knows. Are you getting that? God knows. And that nature of Adam that we have inherited, he what makes us to hate everything that is of God. Because his sin is perverted. It's perverted. Because it's contrary to God. Are you getting that? So, it is that nature that must be changed in a man. And that's why we say Adamic nature. That is what we inherited that is passed down to us. And that is why Jesus Christ was not born the way we were born. So he didn't have Adamic nature, or else he would not be qualified to be our Redeemer. That's why he came by the spoken word. And that is why he created everything and put in the womb of Mary. So that that trait will not be passed to him. Either through the woman or through Adam. Are you following that? So, and somebody can say, how did he? Maybe he was feeding, he was doing this. That does not make any blood of Eve to transfer into him. Medically, it is explainable. None of the blood of Eve was in Jesus' body. The umbilical cord was the only connection I had to draw food. As you can remember, it's a supernatural being that was in the womb of Mary. God will sustain it anyhow without anything. The first man had no father, had no mother. Where is his navel? Does he have a navel? Where? Are you getting that? Maybe it is bat that gives us navel. It's umbilical cord now that gave us navel now. Placenta. It is when that is severe that they try to take care of it and then it folds like this. And then you have some people will have big ones. Somehow we have one. Very funny. Funny, different type of navel. Well, praise be to God. So we are talking about Adam representing us. And that's why we became sinners. Needing redemption. And the prophet said, what Adam did there, when Jesus came also, he came to represent us too, in salvation. Making a way for us that if Adam represented you unto sin, here I am, I want to represent you unto salvation. So making a way. So there is no excuse to say that what Adam did is wrong. What about what Jesus Christ has, what God has done again in Christ? To, you know, a poison and the antidote to neutralize it. God is the one walking on both hands to prove that he is the Savior, to prove that he is the Redeemer. Praise be to God. To prove that he is the healer, to prove that he is everything, that everybody must look up unto him. And so we see this, that if we are not to repent of Adam's sin, it is our own sins we are to repent, because the sin of Adam has actually been taken care of by the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood that Jesus shed on the cross has atoned for that. And everyone who wants to accept that. So the works of our hands are the things that God will judge us upon. So it's not what Adam did, because that one has already been taken care of. So it is what you did, what I do, or what I did, that will be reckoned against us or for us. If they are good, if they are bad, praise be to God. So, and you can't repent for Adam, what Abraham had done. You never did it. Adam did it. You just got forgiveness for what you did. You see, what you do is what you get forgiveness for, not for Adam. Remember when Jesus Christ died and he resurrected, he took them, Adam, Eve, all of them, out of the grave. They went with him. So therefore, Eve is forgiven. Adam is forgiven. And the rest of them like that, they've been for a perfect atonement has been made. They've been taken out of paradise. They've been taken to their own block in the sixth dimension. Praise be to God. In the presence of God there. So it's not what Adam did that you have to repent of. It is what you have done. Let me take this boy. And then the brother began to explain, you know, there are two people. One has a snake in the heart, and the other one has a dove, representing Christian and non-Christian. And the prophet said, in the heart of this one that is not a Christian, not a Christian because it's not filled with the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that makes us Christians. Holy Ghost baptism in the soul after we have gone through the repentance and we are baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and we are sanctified and then we are baptized with Holy Ghost and fire. Then we have the Holy Ghost dwelling in us. There is no more snake in the heart of that man because he's been sanctified. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. But the other person who is not yet filled with the Holy Spirit is represented by a circle. Just because I know our time is gone, because it will take me time if I have to draw the board. We'll continue with this by the grace of God. So the other person has the snake in his heart, the other one has dove in his heart. And the brother Abraham says, this person that has the snake in his heart has anger, has lust, has a malice, has unforgiving spirit, has all sorts of things that are written in Galatians chapter 5 and the rest of the scripture that are associated with the works of the flesh is reflected in that man. And this other one that is filled with the Holy Ghost, here is love alone that is in his heart. The brother said, what is generating the evil in that person is the snake.
Sin in that person. It could be our help.
But there is a provision God has made to take away that.
And that's what we are talking about.
God is taking, God has three stages that he takes his people through before we become his habitation. Just like this act too, we go through three processes before the first square city, which is the heavenly home of the bridegroom and the other bride, is the first square city. That we come down from heaven according to Revelation chapter 21. We come down from that place and then we settle on the heart here. Praise be to God. This act must go through the three processes, just like you also must go through the processes for the Holy Spirit to tabernacle in you.
May the Lord be our help. Let's bow down our heads.
There is a country far beyond the starry sky. There's a city where there never comes a night. If we are faithful, we shall go there by and by. It is the city where the Lamb is the light. Here we have our days of sunshine. But we know that the sun which shines upon us now so bright will be changed to clouds and rain until we go to the city where the Lamb is the light. There the flowers bloom forever and the day shall be one eternal day without a night. And our tears, our sorrows, our pains shall be forever wiped away in that city where the Lamb is the light. And the only way we can be part of this, we can go to this place, is for us to go through these three processes. Outside of that, there is no shortcut. As the servant of God said in the morning, there is no shortcut to salvation. It is this process. Let's commit ourselves to the Lord. If there be anyone that is battling in his heart or our heart about genuine repentance, about water baptism, you better pray through and take the right decision. For it is necessary. It is important. While I call the associate to come and pray for us.
Would there be somebody that will want to be remembered in prayer? Who never wants that opportunity to pass anyone by, especially when the matter of salvation is spoken about? Because this message is brought majorly to us for two main reasons. One, it's for the prophet to let us see exactly what God has in store for his bride according to the scriptures. And secondly, to make the plan of salvation plain. to everyone again through this same message. And as we follow, we can see also the stages, and each stage that is spoken about, you will know whether you pass through that stage scripturally or messagically, and you have the evidence of it with you. But if there is a lacking somewhere, you have the right to approach unto the Creator who can help you. And if God has seen you through, wonderful. You may also have somebody in your heart, close relative, family member, that you desire search for. Then you say, God, for this so-so person, I represent by the lifting up of my hand that you remember this person, that it will come by this true way that is acceptable unto you provided, so that at the end of the day, the family way will not be broken. Shall we pray? Gracious eternal Father, we are grateful unto you for your word that has gone forth again in simplicity, in righteousness, purity, power, and demonstration of your spirit. Dear Lord, we'll never thank you enough for sending your prophet of Malachi 4, Lord, with the vindication of the pillar of fire. This great mystery expressed in humility is never found in any denomination. But Lord, you have said we shall know the truth and it too shall set us free. You have brought us by this way of the truth, and Lord, by your grace, we know what to have used the same to accomplish in our life. We want to ask at this hour, you know the request behind your children's hand being up, whether for themselves, whether for a loved one, family member, whatsoever the need is. Your word told us that you are rich to them all that call upon thy name. And say, whosoever cometh unto you, you will know why it's cast out. We ask that you be gracious unto your people by granting this request unto everyone, their Father. Dear Master Jesus, we don't want to live on assumption or presumption. Lord, because you have made a way for assurance and certainty, oh God, help every one of us, Lord, to know where we are standing, to know what we have accomplished in our life, and to be able to know, oh God, that even if the devil comes to try to tell us to the contrary, we have evidence to show of your power of deliverance in our life. Thank you, Father. Those who are saved, those who have not got genuine repentance, those, oh God, who are your church members without knowing where they are from, you present them before you. Because once we have had your word, all of us will have to give account, whether we are able to live by it or we are not able to live by it. It's our prayer and desire that no one will face the angry God at that day, Lord, to reap a check of damnation. But Lord, your grace will work upon everyone, that when that day shall appear, we all rejoice in your presence. We all rejoice in your salvation. We all testify that your word that we hear in every service has done great work in our life. And Lord, we are happy to be at your feet. What good will it be for us to hear of a city where there is righteousness, where there is no sin, where there is no sickness, where there is no pain, where there is no need, where there is no hardship, where there is no economic, Lord, meltdown or whatsoever, when everything is peaceful? Your word, according to the Bible, says, eyes have not seen, nor ears are the things that are reserved to them that love you. Gracious Lord, help us not just to be hearer of it alone, but make us partakers of it, Father. Walk upon us, we find grace in your sight, to each one surrender ourselves to the commandments of your word. Grant it, Heavenly Father. Bless your servant that you have used, replenish him a little the honor of his ministry. We want to appreciate all that you have done for us today and the vessels that you have used. Bless each one, dear Father. reward everyone, their God. Those who prayed, whatsoever part that your children have played, may they never go unrewarded. And we will pray, dear Master Jesus, that this new week that we have started, make it more glorious unto us. Order our footsteps, guide our footpath. Bless our undertakings, bless our going out and coming in. Meet us at the point of our needs. Keep us steady, Heavenly Father. Keep us away from evil, O God. We pray that you draw us closer unto you and meet all of us at the point of our needs. Grant it, dear Father. Let your protection be upon travelers. Help the workers, dear Father. We ask, Lord, that you bless the business people. May you prosper them, O God. Thank you, Father. Be with students, give them retentive memory, understanding, wisdom in their schoolwork. May they excel, Heavenly Father. Thank you, righteous Father. The rest of the services of the week, may they be glorious and wonderful to us. Blessed be your wonderful name. Your servant that went to Bakate, we bring him back safely. Thank you, King of glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray with faith and thanksgiving. Amen. The Lord bless you. We have been refreshed today. We have been drawn closer unto God. We can say that we are not what we are when the services started in the morning. And we cannot be. Is it that by now we are better or we are worse? Those are the only conditions that the world has given. I want to believe that all of us are better because we have sat before God's word, the mirror of God, and we have been made better. We continue to be better to the glory of His holy name. God bless you richly. Our next physical gathering will be Wednesday, God willing. May the Lord watch over everyone and keep us at the center of His will. Shall we rise? 166 in our hymn book. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus.